House Bill 1249, it's to restrict the use of certain artificial lights to locate wild animals. And that's Representative Frisley again. You're on center stage.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members again. Art Frisley, Representative District 6. I have an amendment. How do you want me to do that?
If you've got it.
Yes.
It's printed. Let's distribute it and so we can look at it and you we'll put it on and being a member of the committee, you can put it on whenever you want to.
Art or Mr. Chairman, would you like the somebody to move the amendment?
Would you please?
Mr. Chairman, I move the amendment.
Moved and seconded so we can discuss the amendment and the bill.
Well, I've had quite a time getting this bill crafted to where we can live with it. So, on line six, we felt as though we left an opening there when we said 6 a.m. and we changed that to sunrise. And on line 13, we wanted to make sure that there was a agriculture exemption as well as a occupational exemption. Occupational would include utility workers that are maintaining lines, high lines and such as that. May I speak to both the amendment and it?
May I speak to both, you bet.
Bill 1249 is an attempt to restrict the use of artificial lights. Right now it's legal to use a spotlight on all public roads all night long, year round, as long as you do not have a firearm with you in your vehicle. This bill would make it illegal to do this from September 1st until December 31st after the hour of 10 p.m. and until sunrise. The reason that we're asking for this is spotlighters are driving around all hours of the night. They're spooking livestock for farmers, causing all kinds of problems in that respect. They're shining their lights in farm sites, for whatever reason. If they're trying to locate gas tanks or just to harass farmers or whatever, it's been a major problem in our area really what a lot of them are out looking for wildlife or deer mainly in our area to try to find the big buck and they drive around the middle of the night, harass these deer, and if they see one on your property they try to chase it over onto an area where they can hunt. I think this provides an opportunity where we're losing a lot of our really nice deer, and they'll shoot these deer, poach them, and if they're not the kind of deer that they thought it was, if they're not the large buck, they'll leave them lay or proceed on and have someone else come along and pick it up because they know they're being watched with their spotlight. And the main reason for this bill is the landowners just feel that they're having to guard their property 24 hours a day during the hunting season, and we would at least like to give the landowners and the wildlife a break from 10 p.m. until sunrise during the fall, from September through December. We put the 10 o'clock on so that we don't discourage recreational spotlighting. There are many people who enjoy going out and watching wildlife, and after 10 o'clock I think the people who don't have bad intentions have already went home. We have the landowner operator exemption. He has the right to protect his property and his livestock and from predators if there's a coyote out there or some other problem. He still has that option to go out and use a spotlight and check his cows or his sheep if they're calving or or whatever. And also the utility people have, there's an exemption for them to check the high lines and do their work when we have bad weather and that. So with that, I'll try to answer some questions later or whenever you want. So.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name again is Dave McCray, the Law Program Administrator for Wildlife Division. The first thing I'd like to bring to Representative Frizzley's attention on the amendment is I don't see the insertion of a penalty. I think that's been overlooked, basically. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that whether it's a petty offense or Class 2 misdemeanor, that needs to be inserted. Okay.
That was an oversight on my part. It was supposed to be in there, and I didn't get that in there. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll be very brief. That generally speaking, the department law enforcement staff support the bill's concept, which is to prohibit the random use of spotlights and other artificial lights by unarmed persons, non-agricultural, non-occupational related, between the hours of 10 p.m. and sunrise during the fall and early winter months. It's 4 months out of the year. I think that's a fairly reasonable time frame. Again, agricultural and occupational interests will not be affected. And as far as some general comments to avoid confusion, the bill does not impact the current artificial light law, which is SDCL 41817. Rather, in our opinion, it augments the current law by simply setting a reasonable time frame for those who wish to use an artificial light to spot game at night and who are not in possession of any weapons. Under the existing artificial light law, a landowner, operator, and one guest using either a 22 caliber rimfire firearm and or shotguns with shot shells are allowed to hunt predators and varmints at night with an artificial light on lands they own or operate any time of night. The bill in no way diminishes a landowner's right to protect his or her property from these types of animals. In the enforcement staff, that's always the first question comes up, because if it's going to diminish that right, we're not going to be behind this. Second, also under the current artificial light law, a person on foot and hunting with trained dogs may use an artificial light to hunt raccoons, assuming the light is activated after the raccoon has been treed. Again, the bill acknowledges and preserves a person's legal privilege to hunt raccoons at night with dogs without regard to time of night. That exception's right in the bill. Third, the bill does not prohibit the use of artificial lights per se, but instead limits the use of artificial lights to spot game by non-agricultural or occupational interests after 10 o'clock at night. In other words, unarmed spotlighters may continue to use artificial lights to their heart's content until 10. After that time, any unarmed spotlighter with no legitimate agricultural or occupational interest could be cited once a penalty clause was inserted. Now we kick into my personal experience with this. Of course, the reason that we support the bill isn't because we have officers who get called out at 2, 3, 4 in the morning only to find out these folks are running around spotting animals unarmed and there's nothing we can do. I won't support a bill because the activity frustrates law enforcement. That's no reason for a bill. I have had my share of having to deal with individuals who went out for the express purpose to spotlight game late in the morning, usually in multiple vehicles with a number of individuals I had to deal with, for the express purpose of playing games with me and other law enforcement. You still have to go through the routine of making the stop. Of course, it's at night. Typically, you're alone. You don't know if weapons are involved. A lot of cases, alcohol is involved and even some drugs. You've got to go through all the officer safety. You've got to bring people out of vehicles, and while you're doing it, they're laughing. I guess that's frustrating, but you know what? It's dangerous. It's a waste of personnel resources for both us and sheriff's departments, and I believe that we should have some kind of legal recourse. Basically, these individuals are using artificial lights to shine lights in farmhouse windows. They stir up the landowners. They disturb game that's attempting to bed for the night. And again, they play cat and mouse games with local law enforcement. Again, the bill would set common sense spotlighting hours for those who wish to lawfully use a light at night to spot game. And one other reason that we support the bill, and we do have a very effective night hunting bill on the books, and again, you know, if it survives the process, we'll enforce it with judicious common sense. If not, we still have a very viable, it just doesn't address those who go out after 10 o'clock at all hours of the night. But another reason is that we support it is to stop the practice of some hunters who shine artificial lights to locate wildlife late at night, right up to basically right prior to opening of shooting hours. It's a common and well-documented mode of operation for some big game hunters to spotlight without a weapon, find the animals at night and early morning just prior to legal shooting hours, and then return with a weapon to shoot the animal they spotlighted literally minutes earlier. So.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? Any opponents? Are there any opponents to the bill? If not, I'm going to open it to questions from the committee of the proponents of the bill. Very seldom we have one with no opponents.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Question for the sponsor here, if I can. And maybe this is a stretch, and after looking at the amendment, and I think you might want to address the other issue too somehow through an amendment, but I guess I'm wondering, are we too vague in the terms occupational practice? And like I said, it might be a stretch. Up here we say, no, you cannot do this, but let's take, for example, a guide. Let's take, for example, that's their living, that they're going to be guiding people. Are we covered enough up here and then down below say it's okay if it's your occupation?
The reason that we, Mr. Chairman, the reason that we, that I, with, I was talking with Dave Ortiz over, that we put occupation in there was for the utility people. Maybe we could have chosen better words. I don't know how else we could word it.
Could we redirect that question to Dave McCrae, possibility, for some enlightenment? The question is on occupational practice. Is that a little too broad? Do we, in other words, allow people, like, for example, the hunter guides to go out and do their thing? Find their deer 10 minutes before opening season and send to their.
It would. The plain language it would authorize that. I'm not sure that technically that sentence even needs to be in there. If it's a legitimate occupational practice in an agricultural situation, we'll be able to determine that when we make the stop and develop the information.
For example, if you're out, if there's a lineman out there looking at a line.
Of course not.
It doesn't pose a problem.
Not at all.
So if we don't.
Not at all.
If we would stop the last sentence where it's on the printed bill, after agriculture instead of a comma, we'll put a period?
Yes, that would probably work. It's kind of a spur of the moment, but I think it would probably work. Also, if this were to make it again through the process, we're not going to be running out. I really think the best way to handle this is not to go running out and start writing a bunch of tickets the first year. We'd place information out there. We'd try to educate. And I really think that to properly implement this, that you have to have some kind of grace period. Even if we are detecting this type of activity the first year, I think it's prudent to work what we call or issue what we call a notice of violation as opposed to a citation. You know, I think we should be very careful about how we'd want to implement the provisions. I really think, though, given the totality of the circumstances, that we'd like to give it a chance. If it doesn't work, we'll be back asking for it to be repealed.
Everybody's Hargett got a question.
Yeah, I guess I got a question, and I do this quite often when I'm driving down the road late at night. I'm coming home from a basketball game or whatever. Yeah. If I see a deer in the ditch, if nobody's coming, I usually stop, swing my lights
right
on. Would I be in violation?
Technically, yes, you would. Yeah, we talked about that too, and that's going to have to be, that type of situation is going to have to be incorporated into a policy procedure so we enforce it uniformly. Yeah, I would have a real problem with that. Yeah. And on the other hand, I have, of course, over the years, all the nights that I've worked, I've made cases where people were doing that, but in that case, you know, they were armed and no agricultural purpose whatsoever. But in this case, yeah, if they were unarmed, technically, if they're using that headlight, because that's an artificial light. And I just, yeah, it's one of the situations that we would have to, those folks would get caught up in the ones who are out there causing the problems, so. Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Pitts, you have a
question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for my own clarification, if we could go back to the last line, line 12 and 13, as we're discussing at this point, are we anticipating carrying out any agricultural practice and not using occupational? And if we do that, does that eliminate, I'm not sure what that eliminates, or if, I'm just thinking about what about wildlife journalism, where they may be out doing pictures or something at night.
Well, and our employees, because we do night census of deer, and there are other biological surveys that are done at night, you know, but so the occupational would cover those situations. It would clarify that if you're, you know, that if it was truly occupational, we have the guide scenario too, but otherwise they would be, they wouldn't be in violation if it was clarified. But again, we, you know, you look at the legislative intent and whatever, I think we could clarify that type of activity or situation through policy.
But did I just hear that we were thinking of taking the term occupational words out of there?
There's a possibility.
Possibility, yes.
Yes.
I guess I would struggle with that. Thank you.
As we all would.
Yeah. Now, this is a tough issue.
It's not easily be done. Representative Sigstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned the artificial light laws. What more does this do than what we already have in the books? So we don't need more laws on the books.
Okay.
Would you just sort of go through that?
Yes. What right now, under the current law, an individual who is lawfully using an artificial light to locate wildlife without any weapons can do that all night long. And what this bill would do is set time frames during a four-month period in the fall where you have the major disturbance factor. It would cut it off at 10 o'clock at night. For those who want to, if they're out at Custer State Park, they're out in the Black Hills and they want to use lights, you know, to spotlight elk, as long as they don't have any weapons, they could do it lawfully up until 10 o'clock, but after that they'd be in violation. So it, for a four-month period, it would prohibit unarmed spotlighting without affecting the coon hunters, landowner, operators, any of that.
Follow up. Okay. Sure. Say other predators, skunk, come home at 11 o'clock or something, and there's a skunk in a ditch, not on my land, or something, I use lights. Would that still be allowed?
Well, good question. It's any animal. It's an artificial light. It's kind of the same question as if you're driving down the highway and a deer runs in front of your vehicle or a skunk. You know, it's legislative intent. It's the intent of the individuals who are committing the act that we have to look at.
You're trying to say that you would not be really apt to grab some guy and bring him off in shackles if he shot a skunk.
It depends.
Depends.
Well, because of
right.
The experience I have.
Right.
Yeah, there are folks who use that as their reason to be out there.
Sure.
So, yeah. But that's what they're hunting other things.
Representative Galchick, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, I'm aware of several instances where these hunters, they weren't hunting on their own land. One was a case where they had asked permission, the other they didn't. They called up a power line or a telephone pole, the coon did, and of course they seen them on the spotlight, but of course being the good citizens that we are, we cannot shoot them off a power line or a telephone pole. So they shimmied on down, and then the coon took across for the grove of trees, and they had the spotlight, and they followed the coon up to the trees. And the way law is written now, they're not the landowner, they're going to get a ticket. And they did get tickets. They did get wrote up. Am I correct in this?
Well, I don't know the situation other than how you've explained it. Uh-huh. I don't know all the facts that are behind that. I do recall a case, I don't know if this was down in the Hutchison or the
There were several
in Bonhomme County, but there was an incident where folks had a handheld, they actually had a portable battery that they had a handheld spotlight attached to, and they were, that's exactly how they were hunting, and then we ended up getting into a big pursuit and had even had some people hurt. In that case, if they're not the landowner, they're not with the landowner, if they're not the guest, and if there's no dog involved, they're going to be cited.
So yeah. Your advice is to have a dog and have a landowner with you?
At a minimum, have the trained coon dog, yes, or be with the landowner.
But even with that coon dog, if they're running across the open ground and you're spotlighting, that's illegal.
We have in our policy, we give them leeway for, you know, periodically using the light to see where they're going. But once the coon has been treed, at that point they can keep it on continuously and take the animal. It's been like that for years and years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've come up on those folks before. They had no idea I was there, and as they're using the chainsaw to cut the tree down.
Yeah. Well, Mr.
And Chairman, they were perfectly legal.
Yeah. I guess that did, that reminded me, the case I was referring to is not in that, but that did remind me of that case as well. So yeah. That's a third case then. Yeah. So why don't we just, Mr. Chairman, if I could continue. In this one, we're trying to wind it down. In the other case, where these people are legitimately trying to do the landowner a favor, why don't we open it up a little bit then?
Well, because that opens up, even the law recognizes a landowner's right to protect his property. The landowner can have one guest, and to do otherwise, I think, is to really lighten up on the and lessen the controls of night hunting. And I have some real concerns about that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Representative
Sixth. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering right now, and in light of some of these facts, wouldn't Mr. Frizzly right now, wouldn't they be trespassing in a lot of his instances that he mentioned, like people going on his land and scaring out that big buck, or others trespassing at night? Under your law, that's still covered right now, wouldn't it be?
Well, see, that's a good question, because if they're shining from a public road right away onto land that they have no right to be shining on, whether that's a trespass, and that's something that I think would go to the state Supreme Court. I don't know if that's ever been tested. I don't think we have any case law on that. I know that there's a law enforcement officer for the department up in the Northeast, up in Region 4, who believes in all his heart it's a trespass, and I caution him about that. I think that's a stretch. Now, if they take their vehicle onto the private property without permission, that's a vehicle trespass, but as I stated earlier, as wildlife officers, it's under Title 32. We don't have the authority for vehicle trespass, only the criminal under Title 22 and the 41 hunt fish trap trespass. But if it's being done from the road and the lights onto private property, I think from a legal and technical sense, that's quite a stretch to be a hunting trespass. I don't know. I don't think I'd feel comfortable taking that one forward. But that, you're right, that's come up.
Any other questions? I guess I have one. We mentioned the possibility of a penalty, and that section is that's not included. As it stands, that would be a not a misdemeanor, but a petty
offense. Petty offense is the maximum for that is $20, and if that's
it's not worth fiddling.
Well, but it still gives us some legal recourse when we deal with these individuals without taking a big bite. Mm-hmm. And a class 2, of course, can go up to as high as $200 and or 30 days in jail.
But very seldom does.
Right, yes. So and $20 every time the guys go out, that's, you know, well, I guess now it's about half a tank of gas, but if it's a petty offense, it'd be the only one that we would have in Title 41. All our laws are either class 2s or class 1s. We even have one felony. It'd be the only one, and I would hope that wouldn't set a precedent. But for something like this, I don't know. I would have no opposition whatsoever if this were classed as a petty offense.
You could live either way.
Either way, yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, we have we'll open up discussion and action, and we have a pending amendment that needs to be voted on. Any discussion on amendment? That's 1249 RA. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign.
No.
Close, but we passed it.
Okay.
You know, you keep a man, chairman awake that way, it helps. So the bill is now amended. Discussion on the bill.
So Mr. Chairman, I move we table House Bill 1249.
Been moved to table. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
There's a second. There's no discussion. All those answer appropriately. The name is called, and the secretary will call the roll.
Bradford?
Aye.
Risley?
No.
Hanson?
Aye.
Hargan?
Aye.
Obeck?
Aye.
Jensen? Bojek?
Aye.
Pitts? Roden?
No.
Dinkstad?
Aye.
Van Gerven?
Aye.
Lentz?
No.
Doolittle?
No. Motion carried 8-4. It has been tabled.